Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Thursday to you. My name is Jim Rome. What's cracking? All right, lots and lots of show. Let me lay it out for you because we have a lot to get done today. Nice to have you. Let me start you off with a telephone number. It is toll free. Listen, Thursday is a beef day. I know a lot of you want to get involved. You just need to know exactly where it is. We are moving it. I like to do it at the top of hour number three, but today we have a guest at the top of hour number three, which means the beef segment is moving to the middle of hour number two. What that means is mentally get yourself prepared a little bit sooner. What that means is get yourselves ready and get your material to Tommy. He likes to start to accumulate it as he multitasks throughout the morning. Love that song. What's up? Telephone number is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So you've got the beef segment. That's the middle of hour number two. Coming up at 9:40. These are Pacific times. I'm on the West Coast. 40 minutes from right now, Brian Scalabrine. Love Scal. He is a Celtics TV game analyst. He will have thoughts on what happened last night to Boston. Things look great for a half, fam. And then the third quarter. Then playoff Jimmy. So, Brian Scalabrine, 9:40. What's your beef? 10:40. The current Cup Series points leader and driver of the number one Chevy Camaro for Trackhouse Racing, Ross Chastain. Top of hour number three. So we have a lot to get done. And I've got a full smack-off setup for you today that I want to hit too. Let's get right at it, starting with the NBA. So I stopped doubting a long, long time ago, but it is time for everybody else to stop questioning it and just accept it. I'm talking about the Miami Heat culture. The Miami Heat culture is absolutely a real thing. Playoff Jimmy Butler is absolutely a real thing.
It's not a thing.
Dude, it is a thing.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
Jimmy, it is.
It's not a thing.
Oh, man, it is. Listen.
It's not.
Far be it from me to argue with you about you. How am I going to win an argument with Jimmy Buckets about him? Listen, I respect the hell out of Jimmy. I really do not want to get on the wrong side of him, and I certainly do not want to tell him he's wrong about his own game, but he's wrong about his own game. You are, dude.
I just be hooping.
No, dude. You're not just hooping. You're hooping at an absolutely ludicrous level. You're not just hooping. You are freaking dominating. I've said this over and over again, but Jimmy Butler is one of the best players in the NBA, period. Full stop. But come playoff time, the man is damn near the second coming of MJ himself. He's the super alpha among super alphas. He is him. Himmy Butler. And no, I'm not just throwing around that Jordan thing either, by the way. I'm fully aware of how strong of a statement that is. I'm not opening up my mouth so diarrhea and lava can pour out. That's not what that is. That is absolutely a justifiable comparison in this case because he's literally doing MJ things. Case in point, last night. Himmy's second career road playoff game with at least 30 points, 5 boards, 5 dimes, 5 steals. 30, 5, 5, and 5. Go ahead. Take a guess at the only other dude to ever do that. That's right. It would be my co-star in the Good Space Jam. It would be Mike.
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
So don't try to tell me the playoff Jimmy is not a thing, because it is. Don't try to tell me today isn't another bleeping Jimmy Butler day, because it is.
Jimmy Butler day for all you bitches out there.
One of the greatest lines ever. Exactly, dude. Now we're on the same page. Now we are on the same page. Honestly, these days, it feels like every day is a bleeping Jimmy Butler day for all you bees out there. Do not get it twisted. I'm not ignoring or discounting the rest of the Heat or the Heat culture or Coach Spo, who is incredible. Top to bottom, this team and this organization are absolutely cooking right now. I mean, yes, buckets, got his buckets, but as a whole, the team shot 54% from the field and over 51% from three. This is supposedly a busted up, banged up team, lacking depth and talent that was supposed to be run over and completely overwhelmed by the Celtics. Instead, they just completely ran over and overwhelmed the Celtics in their house to rip the home court advantage. And then, of course, when it came to finishing time, closing time, it was the cold-blooded psycho, Jimmy Buckets, who went right there to stick that dagger all the way in and twist it.
Shot clock at three. Butler with Brogdon on him. It's a long three. And good! Oh, Jimmy freaking Butler puts it in!
Jimmy freaking Butler!
Jimmy freaking Butler puts it in!
Another straight-up Ionic call from the straight-up Ionic Kevin Harlan.
Ionic.
And seriously, what the hell else are you even supposed to say about this dude right about now? He's just Jimmy friggin' Butler. And one of the best things about Jimmy friggin' Butler is that he doesn't just dominate these playoff games, he dominates the subsequent pressers as well. Check out his reaction when somebody had the audacity to come at him and ask him if he thought that a run like this was possible when Miami was struggling in the play-in tournament.
Did you think then that something like this would be possible?
Damn right. I did. Damn right. We did. And the best part about it is we still don't care what none of y'all think. Honestly speaking, we don't care if you pick us to win. We never have. We never will.
This dude, that was the Buckets equivalent of dropping, "Do you know who the hell I am?
Know who the hell I am?
You know who the hell we are? You know who the hell I am? What up, Evil?
You know who the hell I am?"
Or maybe like the Buckets equivalent of going all Walter White with it. Like, did I think it was possible? You're damn right.
You're goddamn right.
This dude. I mean, I know it's all very positive here, but what is there to knock? The man is straight up willing an allegedly overmatched number 8 seed through the NBA playoffs with Jordan-esque performances on the regular, and it's an amazing thing to witness. Like, quote, we're all witnesses, right? The Celtics, on the other hand, not an incredible thing to witness. The Celtics, on the other hand, not even fun to watch. Half fam. Chowtown. I know a lot of you are frustrated. I know a lot of you are heated. I know a lot of you are straight up pissed right now. And you should be, because that was a brutal third quarter. A brutal game one. A brutal game one letdown again. And a brutal way to hand over home court in a series that you were supposed to dominate. I mean, that is a straight kick in the stick. It's the second straight series that starts with a kick in the stick. Half fam? And there's no such thing as a half kick in the stick. Half fam? Like, I don't know what the hell happened to Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter, but he looked confused both about the rules and about what team he was on, right? Because he could not stop traveling, and he could not stop throwing the ball directly to the Heat late when it mattered most. And then there's head coach Joe Mazzulla clutching his timeouts again, saving them for who the hell knows what, refusing to call a single timeout during that entire hideous third quarter. You know, that third quarter where Boston was outscored 46-25 when they came out of the locker room with a nice lead after the first half. But he's just going to let them figure it out. He's not going to get in the way. That's a learning situation. Easy, Phil Jackson. Maybe you do call a timeout. Let me run that back. They were outscored 46-25. They allowed 46 third quarter points.
For real.
In game one of the Eastern Conference Finals at home. Yet dude never thought that maybe he might take a timeout. Maybe to stop the bleeding. Maybe to get that freaking train back on the rails. And if you thought that, thank you, Alvin. If you thought that Mazzulla would have an answer after the game for why that team came out of halftime and completely unraveled, was unprepared, and got their asses kicked. If you thought that he had a good answer for that, think again, because here's what he actually had to say about that.
We were prepared. We played harder than them in the first half, and then they outplayed us for one quarter. So we were prepared for it. We had the right mindset heading into the game. We had the right mindset heading into the game. We played harder than they did, and we were prepared, and we did a great job.
The quarter made all the difference, right?
It did, but we were prepared, and then we let go of the rope. And so there's two storylines here. It's one, we were ready to play, and we had a great job executing on both ends of the floor in the first half, and it's about the consistency of they're going to continue to play. And so we have to be prepared for when we do outplay them, that they're going to respond, and we have to respond. And so we were prepared. We just let go of the rope.
Yeah, why did you let go of the rope?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Which would have led to another long, horrible answer. What do you mean there are two storylines? There's one storyline. You get your asses kicked. There's your storyline. I mean, that's an incredible response. You can say over and over and over again that you were prepared, but that doesn't make it so. You sure as hell didn't look prepared coming out of the locker room for the second half. Which is why you got that question in the first place. Now, how about this guy cutting off the reporter like, no. I'm trying to answer your question. Yeah, but you're doing a really bad job of it. How about this answer? We were prepared, and it's a couple of storylines, and we only got outplayed for one quarter. What kind of an answer is that? Nobody cares that you played harder than they did in the first half. Or that you won three of the four quarters. Are you really making that argument? Congratulations, coach.
Congratulations.
You won three of the four quarters. Three of the four quarters.
Yay!
Too bad. You won three of the four quarters. Too bad you got your ass kicked in the game. Can I repeat that, coach? You won three of the four quarters. Too bad you got your ass kicked in the entire game. That is an all-time bad response. It's almost like he went Rafa reporter on that reporter. Like, we got our asses kicked, but we still won.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And
we played harder than them in the first half.
And
we were prepared.
And
we had a great job executing on both ends of the floor in the first half.
And if you're ready to give it another try.
I lost, by the way.
Third quarter made all the difference.
Yeah, I know.
But we had the right mindset heading into the game. We played harder than they did.
But it's a win anyway.
We just let go of the rope.
Why did you let go of the rope?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Look at the scoreboard. Three quarters for us, one for them. So we really won. Man, what a bunch of gibberish. I really thought that Mazzulla had locked up that job full-time last series. Now I'm not so sure. Not that I'm looking to get anybody fired. I'm not. I'm not calling for his job. I'm just saying that these days, what NBA coach isn't getting fired? Then again, if you want to keep your job, you should do your job. I mean, look at you. Do your job. Am I right, Jimmy?
Look at you. Do your job.
Look at you. Do your job.
Look at you. Do your job.
Now that's how you crack back from the podium like a damn boss. Look at you, do your job.
Look at you, do your job.
Hey, Avi, if you don't mind, can I hear the entire exchange once again? This was back in the first round, right after Buckets and the Heat finished off the Bucks in five games. Listen to what Buckets did.
What does it say about this team that you were sitting here now having defeated the number one seed, getting ready for national television at Madison Square Garden on Saturday?
Don't we play on Sunday?
Sunday, I'm sorry.
Look at you. Do your job.
Incredible. Incredible. That guy makes a mistake. You know, what's it say about this team that you just beat the number one seed and you're getting ready to play on Saturday? Don't we play on Sunday? Oh, yeah, Sunday. Look at you. Do your job.
Sunday, I'm sorry.
Look at you. Do your job.
What? And listen, I'm the last guy as a member of the media that wants to see an athlete bully the media. But what an incredible response that was. Look at you. Do your job.
Sunday, I'm sorry.
Look at you. Do your job.
Butler, man. He is the greatest. This is why this dude is the dude. That's why he's Jimmy friggin' Butler and Himmy friggin' Buckets. And that's why every day around here feels like bleeping Jimmy Butler Day these days. For all you bees out there.
Jimmy Butler Day for all you bitches out there.
I'm telling you, that was something else. The only ones who had a worse day than Missoula was YouTube TV. How'd that go for you? Do you have that? Did you try to watch the game that way? How'd that go? Not so good, right? We'll get into that a little bit later on. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. I want your thoughts on game one of the Eastern Conference. Everything was going so nicely for Boston until it wasn't. This is what happens when culture bumps up against talent. Talent's supposed to overwhelm, except they got overwhelmed. Brian Scalabrine will join me a little bit later on. All right, some other topics I want to get to. Smack off number 29. We have a date for that, June 30th. It's time that we really get into this. We had our first RSVP yesterday. Mark from Boston. I didn't call for it. I didn't ask for it. It just kind of organically resulted. He called up to RSVP, the first official RSVP, and it was awesome. I want to reset that for you, and I've got thoughts about the Smack Off. I think there are people who are just kind of tuning in who still don't really know exactly what it's about, how to get into it, how to win it, what it includes. So I'm going to lay that out for you, too. Had a tremendous episode of the Jim Rohn podcast, which I pushed out yesterday. Episode 267 with my dude, Kevin Frazier. Butter! You clones know Butter. He showed up as only he could or can. I want to set that up for you. Also, the Sixers. Let's say who's not having a good offseason so far. My guy, Troel. Joel Embiid lost his head coach, and then not long thereafter, lost his Lorden. James Harden wants out. He's going to bounce. So Joel's got to be like, what's going on here? Like, I hate to say it because I love Joel, but it went really, really badly for him on the floor, and it's going just as badly for him off the floor. So where do the Sixers go from here? I want to get into all of that also. Let me check some reaction before I go to break. Hey, Jim. The Celtics might have more talent on the floor. Let me stop you right there. There's no might about that. They just do. I mean, that's not some hot take. We all know this. They absolutely have more talent on the floor. Dear Jim, the Celtics might have more talent on the floor. However, Eric Spoelstra v. Joe Mazzulla is a complete mismatch. And maybe the key to the series, hey, Jason Tatum, you are allowed to shoot in the fourth quarter. Playoff Jimmy is whack. Scott in Salt Lake.
That's whack.
What's whack about Playoff Jimmy? If by whack you mean incredible, then I agree, he's whack. If by whack you mean you're a Celtics fan living in Salt Lake City, what's whack about Playoff
That's
Jimmy?
Whack.
I'd just be hooping.
Jimmy might say the Playoff Jimmy is whack. And far be it for me to say anything about Jimmy
it's
is wrong. Far be it for me to disagree with Jimmy about Jimmy, right? But I'm going to disagree with Jimmy about Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy is real. And obviously, the Heat culture is real because if you look at these two teams on paper, there's no way that should happen. Culture beat talent. It did last night. It says, quote, it sounds like Coach Mazzulla got his game plan from Jameis Winston's trainer.
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
That is extremely well played. Nice job. That's at Mount Baker James.
We were prepared, and then we let go of the rope. And so there's two storylines here. It's one, we were ready to play. And we had a great job executing on both ends of the floor in the first half. And it's about the consistency of they're going to continue to play. And so we
Yo,
have
Coach,
to be prepared.
Coach, nobody's hearing a damn thing you're saying. All we are hearing or thinking about is that third quarter when you got outscored 46-25. This is nonsense about we were prepared. We won three of the four quarters. We just let go of the rope. Scoreboard, look up at it. It doesn't say you three quarters, them one. We dominated
them. So we were prepared
for
it. We had the right mindset heading into the game.
Yeah, but you lost the game in the home court.
We just
let go of the rope. What are we doing here? What are we talking about here? What are we doing here? You won three quarters? No, you didn't. You lost the home court.
what are we doing here?
1-800-636-8686. All right, so that clock is spinning fast. It's spinning fast in the sense that we've got the beef segment coming up in the middle of hour number two. So go ahead, start lining it up. What do you want to beef about? You can beef about anything you want. Any topic, sports or non-sports. So quick question, being that it is a beef day, why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so incredible? Why don't we start with the fact that it's a family-run business. A family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure that you make the right choice. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the finest ingredients. It's all about the process. It's about the ingredients, and it's about the way they make it. It's incredible. It comes in four different flavors. They're all awesome. Decide which one you want. If you can't decide, they come in 4-ounce bags. Then you can pick all four at once. If you know what you want, get the big bag, the 18-ounce bag. That way you've got enough for everybody. If you do not see Old Trapper, be sure to ask for Old Trapper by name because everybody knows about it and everybody also knows that no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so once again, welcome back. Spent the entire Open really talking about Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Let me reset you really quickly. The beef segment is coming up in the middle of hour number two, and the way that works is we do it once a week. It's always on a Thursday, and you get to call up and beef about anything you want. Just go off the board altogether. It can be about sports or non-sports. It can be about the show or not about the show. It can be about your life. It can be about your work. That's the beauty of the beef segment. You can beef about anything you want, and it can come in the form of a phone call, a tweet, or an email. So the beef segment coming up next hour, 1-800-636-8686. Like, I don't even know what's more amazing to me. The Celtics falling apart or Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter. No points, three turnovers. Couple of traveling calls. No points. A guy who scored 51 in game 7 days earlier does not score a single point in the fourth quarter. No shots. How does that happen? Brian Scalabrine, I'm sure, will have lots of thoughts on this when we run him down in about 15 minutes. He's a Celtics TV game analyst for NBC Sports Boston. Played 11 years in the NBA. I want to get his thoughts on exactly what happened. And again, Mazzulla, for him to cut off a reporter, and I'm not here to defend reporters, but if you're going to cut a guy off, it best be to correct that reporter for making a mistake. You know, like Jimmy Butler did. Do your job. But if you're going to cut a guy off like that and run a guy over like that to try to justify what happened or explain what happened, and that's your explanation?
So we were prepared for it. We had the right mindset heading into the game. We had the right mindset heading into the game. We played harder than they did, and we were prepared.
But you played harder than they did? You were prepared? If you played harder than they did and you were prepared, the hell happened in the third quarter?
We just let go of the rope.
Why? Oh, you just let go of the rope. Oh, that little thing. Why didn't you call timeout, coach?
Both teams play hard.
You get outscored by more than 20 in the third quarter, not a single timeout. Then you come out in the fourth quarter and you outscore Miami 7-0. And Spo immediately calls timeout. He wasn't waiting for his guys to figure it out. It wasn't a learning opportunity. I mean, I got to say, that is one of the bigger coaching mismatches I've seen in quite some time.
I don't know. It's a great question.
Where's your answer then? You had all the answers a moment ago.
We just let go of the rope.
Half fam. I mean, if I'm that frustrated and I really don't care, how do you feel as full fam when you really do care? Celtic fans, where are you? Don't wait for the beef. You can jump in ahead of the beef. You can have your own beef segment, Celtic fans. What the hell is going on there? Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Smack off number 29 is June 30th. You have to be in it to win it. There are a couple of different ways to get into it. I'll have that entire rundown for you a little bit later on. And I do want to reset Mark in Boston. I love that he RSVP'd yesterday. It was a great RSVP. The one person known for the Smack Off RSVP is Vic in NoCal. Vic, I don't want to say traditionally, but there have been years where Vic's RSVP call the week of the Smack Off was better than his actual Smack Off call. You know, that's not some hot take. That's a fact. But if you want to RSVP, if you know you're in and you want to RSVP, you go right ahead. Do it anytime you want. Brian Scalabrine is going to come up in about 10 minutes. Also, NASCAR, the bad boy of the sport, also atop the points leaderboard right now. Ross Chastain on pit road, letting his hands go. Looking forward to that conversation. Top of hour three. Take a short time out. When we come back, Brian Scalabrine will join us. But first up, welcome back. All right, halfway through hour number one, Brian Scalabrine momentarily. Before I get to him, let's go to the phones. We go to Long Island. John in Long Island. It's good to have you on the air. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate being on. Thank you.
Good to have you. What's on your mind?
You know, I'm a huge Celtic fan. I've been a Celtic fan for over 50 years through the heyday and everything. And I think, you know, you asked what the problem is with the Celtics. And if I had to say one thing is they lack mental toughness. They let down. They don't come with their A game, game in, game out. They lost to the Sixers game one when Joel Embiid wasn't on the floor. They came out and played it like a scrimmage. And last night, I think they did the same thing. They let down after the big game 7 win a few days earlier, and they didn't really show up. Played it like a scrimmage. They get to the end and figure out, oh my God, how can we be in this position? And then they lose their composure. Tatum's probably the biggest culprit on this. Turned the ball over a couple times. Very frustrated. I think they have the talent, but they lack that mental toughness, game in and game out. You don't see Jimmy Butler do that. He comes every game. He comes and he plays his heart out. And Tatum, if he wants to achieve that status, he's got to do the same.
You nailed it. Exactly right, John. Thank you very much. You nailed it. Rack him. That's so true. That's why when Joe Mazzulla says, we were prepared. No, we were prepared. We were prepared. No, you weren't. Not to play four quarters, you weren't. Not coming out of halftime, you weren't. They seem to me to be acting like a team coming out of halftime, like, we got this. We are better. We are more talented. We're the ones to beat. It's our series. It's our year. It's our Larry O. We're it. When that's far from the case. And I think there is lots of blame to go around. Like, I'm watching Tatum in the second half and late in that game. Like, what am I watching? What is this guy doing? How is this the same guy that scored 51 in a game 7 when it looks like he forgot the rules of the game? Or it looks like he forgot who he played for? He's turning it over. He's traveling. He's not even shooting it, much less scoring it. Like, the hell happened exactly? And a lot of this is on the coach. Don't tell me how prepared you are when it's very clear the biggest problem is you are not prepared. Not prepared for the Miami Heat and what they do. And how is that even possible? Is there anybody anywhere, much less the team that's going up against them, that doesn't understand that Miami is going to play the same way and fight as hard as they possibly can on both ends for every single second of every single game, especially now? I don't care what happened during the regular season. I don't care how hard they had to struggle in the play-in game. Have you not been paying attention? They threw the switch. And it's not just Jimmy Butler. It's everybody. All these contributions coming from all these different guys who all understand. They all buy in. Like, it's so cliche, but it's so true. The Heat culture is a real thing. They clearly are tougher. They're not more talented. They're tougher. They're tougher mentally, physically, emotionally. They're more committed. They're better coached. They play harder. And that's why they won game one. Now, far be it for me to say I'm not a believer, because I am. It's still hard for me to believe that they're going to win this series. But then again, based on game one, is it? Because after all, Joe says they were prepared.
We were prepared.
Let's go to a better source. Somebody who would know. He's played 11 years, or did play 11 years in the league, with the Nets, the Celtics, and the Bulls. a member of the championship Celtics squad, 2008, a Celtics TV game analyst for NBC Sports Boston and Sirius XM NBA radio host as well. All around awesome dude. Brian Scalabrine is my guest. Scal, what's going on? How are you?
Man, it's always good to catch up with Romy in the playoffs, man. I'm really excited about this.
Dude, I love it. Me too. I could not have said that better. I've been looking forward to this the entire postseason. Scout, you can't be happy about what you saw last night from the Celtics. What are you the most unhappy about? Where would you start in breaking down that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been going on with their playoffs throughout. And Jim, I don't know about you. This is how I see it. Other people see it differently. And, you know, especially nowadays, like when a superstar player loses, they always seem to blame the role players, blame the coach, blame the organization. I'm not blaming Jason Tatum for he had 30 points. I just want to see the stars be the stars. And I don't think I'm asking too much. Jimmy Butler's being a star. Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, LeBron James are all being stars out there. Like Nikola Jokic, star. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, star. Like I want my superstars, which are Tatum and Brown, and I think the world of these guys. I think they're all NBA for a reason, deservingly so. But I think in the playoffs, those guys got to have the ball in their hands making plays, whether that's making people around you better with passing. You could score. You can get to the free throw line. So I want Tatum and Brown to take initiative of this team, this organization, and say, like, okay, we are going to win a championship because of us, and obviously we need role players. Or we're going to lose it, but it's going to be us going out, guns blazing.
100%. I'm on the same page with you, Scal. Brian Scalabrine joining us. So what about that? Like, you see Tatum, he goes for 51. In fact, he did exactly what you're talking about in Game 7, where he goes for 51. But then just it was so weird to watch him late last night. I was just making the point that either he forgot which team he played for because he kept turning it over, or he forgot the rules because he kept traveling. Is it on Joe Mazzulla to do a better job of getting him the ball, or does Tatum just say, man, give me the GD ball and get the hell out of my way?
Well, I mean, I just think you got to be aggressive. Like, these guys do touch it. They get the rebound. Superstar players can dictate that. So I just want to see Tatum aggressive. And by the way, Jim, I don't care if he travels three times and throws the ball to the other opponent. I just don't want to see that with you on your heels. Like, nah, man, lean forward, get downhill. Try to, like last year, I thought the Celtics tried to do too much at times and they turned it over, but I chalked it up as young, inexperienced. They came across as Steph Curry, who's an all-time great. I'm okay with losing like that. I just don't want, Tatum, he had the three turnovers, he had a couple free throws, but didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. Took four shots in the second half after having set 18 points in the first half. So, it's a learning process. They did the same thing in the Atlanta game. They did the same thing in the Philadelphia game. Like, I just want Tatum to say, and I won't put it on the coach, because when he has 51, I don't sit over here and say Joe Mazzulla did a great job of getting Tatum 51. I put that on the superstar player. So he is so accomplished right now. He's got his own shoe. He's got all kinds of things going on. He's an all-NBA player. He's an Olympian gold medal. He doesn't have that championship yet. Top five in MVP voting. Those guys are the ones that got to dictate the ship.
Hey, Scal, that whole thing about it's part of the process. I understand the process, but are they not beyond the process? Shouldn't they know that by now, this group?
Yeah, 100% they should be on that. This team has gone to the Eastern Conference Finals. They've been to the finals. I don't get it. Jim, do you know Denver, undefeated at home in the playoffs? Miami, undefeated at home. Lakers, undefeated at home. Celtics, 4-4 at home. That doesn't make any sense. The Boston Garden has mystique to it. It's a tough place to play. Every visiting team would tell you, man, that's not an easy place to win. Like, I think we're 8-9 over our last 17 playoff games in the TD Garden. So I don't get it. And some of the performances have been really lackluster. So, but they also have had Game 7 where they destroy Philly and make them quit. So a very up and down team. So when it's part of the process, I think when you get swept in the first round, that's part of the process. You know, like letting go of the rope when you've been there before is not part of the process.
Yeah, getting outscored 46-25 in the third quarter is not a part of any process, not a good process. Brian Scalabrine joining us. Scal, bottom line, I mean, does culture beat talent over a seven-game series? Should it ever?
You know where culture beats talent? Like when your guys don't bring it. Like, listen, Jim, I played 11 years, you mentioned it, off the jump. I never went against a guy that I have more talent. But I stuck around for 11 years. A lot of guys came and went, right? But culture is like paying attention to detail, right? I never played for the Miami Heat, but I paid attention to detail. A culture is like playing above your skill level, what you're supposed to do. And you look at Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson, whoever you want, Jimmy Butler. By the way, like Minnesota quit on Jimmy Butler for Wiggins and Towns. Philadelphia quit on Jimmy Butler because of Ben Simmons. So these guys are guys that make decisions. They have Jimmy Butler in. They want to call him a malcontent. It works in Miami. Spoelstra's getting the most out of him. So people use the word culture. I think the Spurs do the same thing. They get players that people don't think are good, but whatever the reason, they pay attention to detail, they focus, and they just have a – and if you don't do that with the Miami Heat, you're gone. And James Harden tapping out of Game 7 and then Doc getting fired, I can tell you what, if Jimmy Butler taps out of any game, Eric Spoelstra is not getting fired. So you want to call all that culture, you can call that culture. But I love – if you're a basketball fan, you love what the Miami Heat do. I do. I love – how hard they play. I love their attention to detail. I love how they have fight, and I love how they have no quit in them. But there are other teams out there that have culture, and I just think the Miami Heat, across the board, they know how to get the most out of each guy.
Scal, I'm in awe organizationally of the Miami Heat. I can't even believe how unbelievable they are top to bottom. And that Jimmy, he may lead from the front. He might be that alpha, but he's one of them. He buys in. And the other guys you mentioned, Gabe Vincent, Gaucho, by the way, I love that. I'm proud of him. Yeah, the point you made about Jimmy Butler, Scal, you know the NBA better than anybody, as well as anybody. How is it that not one, but two franchises didn't get Jimmy Butler? Like, I understand that's a different cat. However, why would you not want him in your organization or on your team? Explain
how
that works.
I'll answer it so clearly to you. So, the greatest player in the NBA is Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan is the greatest competitor. There's no question. The guy was, his will to win was off the charts, and he rubs guys the wrong way. All right, so we can all agree that Jordan is going to push guys, and he said it in The Last Dance, like, I'm going to make guys uncomfortable so I can get the most out of them because I'm trying to win. All right. So he's the greatest player. So if Michael Jordan was the 20th greatest player, some people would say it's not worth it. It's not worth it to go through what Michael is going to put you through if he isn't Michael Jordan. So Jimmy Butler rubs people the wrong way. He pushes people. He pushes people's buttons the wrong way. So if it's not worth it, if he's not a top 20 player, top 30 player, Miami, they believe it is. They believe that, you know what, I don't care. You know what, by the way, I think Pat Riley does the same thing. I think Eric Spoelstra does the same thing. There are some guys that are obsessed with winning, and they want to see you, what you're like with your back against the wall. Jimmy Butler is like that as a player. If you're not a top-tier player in the NBA, a lot of teams will look at Jimmy Butler and say, oh, man, is he really worth the headache? You'll hear lines like that. For Miami, he's 1,000% worth the headache. Other teams, they're worth the headache. For, like, I guess for Minnesota, it wasn't worth the headache. For Philadelphia, I guess having Ben Simmons was worth it. It's not worth the headache. So I just think some organizations will do whatever. Like, if LeBron was like that, you'll do whatever it took for LeBron. But a lot of people think you don't do that for Jimmy Butler, except for the Miami Heat, which they are totally fine with it. And not only that, they embrace it.
I think it's a great explanation. So a lot of this comes down to fit. So, Scal, before you go, what are the biggest adjustments that you want to see Boston make heading into Game 2?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be simple. Like, you just can't. One, it's things that everybody knows. Like, a person off the street could know that you have to play hard against the Miami Heat and not let go of the rope. So that's one, right? You can't turn the ball over. That's another one. The biggest adjustment they'll make, and I'd be shocked if they don't, high volume usage of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown throughout the game. And it will start the first 5 minutes of the game. Those guys will go you know, Tatum will have two possessions, Brown will have two, Tatum will have two, Brown will have two, and they will stay on the attack. And that's when they're at, when the Celtics are at their best in the playoffs, that's what they're doing. Everything else is all like a smoke and mirrors. So the adjustment will be that. And another one, watch for the double big lineup. Joe Mazzulla went with the starting lineup, but he didn't stick with it as much. When Rob Williams and Al Horford are on the floor, the team typically is much better. So I think those would be the two things you'll see.
No one like him. One of my favorite things to do every NBA postseason is run down Brian Scalabrine, 11 years in the NBA, an NBA champion, Celtics TV game analyst for NBC Sports Boston, also a radio host with Sirius XM. Scal, I know how busy you are. Really appreciate you coming back on, man. Awesome time as always.
All right. Thanks, Jim. See ya.
Have a great day, Scal. Brian Scalabrine, love him. Such great analysis. There you go. Half fam, reaction. I agree with everything he said. Not often that somebody comes on where you could say, you know what, I agree with every single thing that person just said, but I agree with every single thing that person just said. I rarely disagree with Scal. He knows. He knows. All right, so let me get your reaction to any or all of that. 1-800-636-8686. That's our number one. Already, the beef segment is nearly upon us. That is the middle of hour number two. So what you want to do is start calling right now with your beefs so we can set them up. Get in line. Line them up. 1-800-636-8686. Also, hit me up on Twitter with a beef. At Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. If you send it to at R-O-A-M, I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to get it. If you send it to R-H-O-M-E, I'm not going to see that either. It's incredible. People still misspell my name. It's not like foam. Hit me up at RomeAtHaveATake.com. All right, when we come back, hour number two. And my thoughts on Smack Off 29. Stay tuned.